The Lies of the Third Temple, Part 96. I'm Professor Hannes Redlinghuis of the First Assembly of Jehovah's South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of the books which I've written, or the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the Rotterdam version, please contact us at our WhatsApp. It's a plus 27 international code, and the WhatsApp number is 0722-367-124. Just go to my website, all small letters, https://yahvah.co.za. If this is the first time that you are to participate in the study, you are very, very welcome. It's necessary to go to part one, to start from the beginning, because you have missed quite a bit of information. It's also very important to subscribe to the channel and be able to receive the notification for all the studies that we are currently busy with. Send this link to your friends and family. Make sure you have a 1611 King James Bible, pen and a writing pad ready. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. Hallelujah. I trust that this study is going to be a blessing unto you in the wonderful name of Yahushua. We will now continue where we left off last week. I'm just referring, now the researcher, the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, makes the following statement. The synagogue, of course, would not interfere with the Muslim area on Mount Rabbi Gordon said. So they say that when they built the third temple on Table Mount, it will not interfere with the Dome of the Rock. Why? Because it's a small area, I think it's in the northern side, where they have enough space to build it. But Islam won't allow it. Why not? Because the moment that they build a structure there, nothing with their permission, that's Islam's permission, nothing will stop the Jews or Israelites to go down underneath their synagogue, because there's not enough space to build a temple. And that's why I've been preaching this for the last 40 years, saying it won't be a temple, it will be a synagogue, which is a place of worship, smaller place. You can't have the whole temple with all the different halls and the courtyards and everything that Solomon's temple had. It will have to be a synagogue. And this Temple Institute in Jerusalem, they also acknowledged about 3 weeks ago, that they will be happy to have a synagogue. If the efforts by Jews to pray on the Temple Mount touched a clash with police and Arabs on the Mount, Mayor Terry Kolek said he feared that Jews praying on the Temple Mount might encounter violence, since Muslims would interrupt the Jewish presence as provocation. They don't want them there. The Muslims doesn't want any Israelites on the mountain. But Jews and Muslims conduct prayer side by side at the cave of Malkapia in Hebron, since the tomb of Par-Rashis. Kolek voiced opposed to the rabbinical action, declared that the calm in Jerusalem is a direct result of the 1967 decision not to alter the status of the rights of the various religion groups. Now, in 1967, we saw that they agreed to have both the groups using the mountain. But as time went along, everything was fallen over more to the side of Islam as to the Israelites. The action by Israel's rabbinates called for a sanctuary to be built on the Temple Mount is a religious edict that has authority of Jewish law. The Ark of the Covenant. Now I want you to listen to what the Temple Mount committee says now. And this is things that I've been preaching for many, many years. Without this information that I'm using as research information. One of the main issues surrounding the Third Temple is the long lost Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was lost when? 570 BY, before Yahushua. When King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon, as he was approaching Jerusalem to demolish the temple and burn down Jerusalem and kick over the walls or turn over the walls into a wilderness, the Ark of the Covenant was hid somewhere under the caves or tunnels under the temple of Solomon. And that's why Islam wouldn't allow the Jews to build even a synagogue on the Table Mount. The last mention of the Ark of the Covenant is 2 Chronicles 35 verse 3. Make a note, 2 Chronicles 35 verse 3, where it is placed back into the temple in the realm of King Josiah. I have explained to you the day that Yahushua died on the cross on Golgotha. The Bible says that the veil, the separate, separated the holies from the uttermost holiest. Tear from the top to the bottom, open like that. And when it was open, did anybody took note of the Ark of the Covenant? Not one, not even Josephus, who was present, because he was the Jewish scholar who was making all the notes. He didn't even mention the Ark of the Covenant. And that's surely the most holiest object in Israel. Everybody would have just stormed to the Ark of the Covenant if it was there, but it was not there. So for more than 500 years, the Israelites were living a lie, the high priest, performing the normal rituals as before the time of King Nebuchadnezzar, as which was ordained by Moses, by Yahweh through Moses. For more than 1,000 years. Now Moses didn't live for 1,000 years, but it continued after the 40 years of Moses. Now what I want to say here, there was no Ark of the Covenant in the temple in Jerusalem when Yahushua died and the veil was torn into two parts. And up till today, 2024, there's no Ark of the Covenant. Now they say in their research, there is no concrete evidence today in 2024 that the Ark of the Covenant still exists or that someone has it. Now I have a question. Does the Ark of the Covenant exist? If it does, will it appear before the third temple is constructed? You see, this is the big spiritual gimmick that's going to happen. Once they get permission to build a third temple, somewhere they will construct the Ark of the Covenant. And suddenly, in one of the caves somewhere in the desert, somewhere one little boy is going to suddenly fall into a cave and they will open the cave and to get the boy out. And there's the Ark of the Covenant. Suddenly. But the only difference is what's going to be, it's going to be made out of fiberglass or polystyrene. It's actually laughable. But this is what they want. They live in this Orthodox Jews, they live in a dream of their own. And that's why they have constructed it, the synagogue structure already. They've done the menorah, the candle frame with the 7 candlesticks. They've done the altar. They've done different things already. But on the last second, if they will build the third temple, they will suddenly find the Ark of the Covenant. I wouldn't be surprised if the Ark of the Covenant is somewhere in a storeroom or in a container, hide away somewhere, the replica. Most Orthodox Jews believe in Jerusalem, while working towards the rebuilding of the third temple, believe that the Ark of the Covenant is safely hidden in a chamber under the Temple Mount. Now this is what I've been preaching for the last 40 years. They feel certain God has preserved the ark for 25 centuries. They feel certain that Yahweh, they call him God. There's no thing like God, G-O-D. God means object of worship. They don't even use the word Elohim. That's how much orthodox they are. We in South Africa are more orthodox coming to the revelation names than they will ever be. They feel certain God has preserved the ark for 25 centuries, that it will be available when the third temple is restored. The ark will, God will open somebody's eyes. They call him God, we call him Yahweh. We know him by his revelation names. He's going to open somebody's eyes and they're going to see the ark of the covenant. The issue of the ark is history and present location, if it exists at all, that's what I say. Is reserved for a later discussion. So they don't want to spend much time on the Ark of the Covenant because they know they will have to create another story, another something, because they don't have facts around it. Now the next issue is very important, because if you go on the internet, you are going to find a lot of articles about the ashes of the red heifer. Now what is a red heifer? It's a red bull that is which was used for the forgiveness of sin for the priests before they could enter into the temple many centuries ago. But that tradition we find very seldom in the Old Testament. There's a couple of references of it, but it never played a major role. It was more doves and lambs and goat. Other offerings was more applicable than that of the ash of a red heifer. Now this red heifer story is running for, I don't know how many centuries already. Well, I want to say years. Since I can remember start researching the third temple, which was many, many, many years ago, always there was something that popped up about the red heifer. Somebody has something to say about the red heifer. And today it has become part of the structure of the things that must happen before Yahushua can appear for Israel. They say he's going to appear for Israel. Yes, he's going to appear for Israel, but first there has to be a great tribulation. And the final covenant must be made. Daniel 9:27, the 70th week of Daniel. Alright, let's concentrate on the ash of the red heifer. Some rabbis, that's Oxidic rabbis, claims that one of the things necessary for a third temple is the ashes of the red heifer. To have a third temple, they must have the ashes of a red heifer. Now listen to it. Of all the sacrifice for sin mentioned in the Old Testament, only the slaying of a red heifer was outside the camp, not in the temple. What is a red heifer? It's actually something like we call in South Africa an Afrikaner bull. That's a deep red bull, specially bred in South Africa, which a lot of the blood line has been exported into Texas and all the other countries where they breed red meat. It's the Rooi Afrikaner. Now this is nothing else than a red heifer. Now listen to the story here. Some rabbis claim that one of the things necessary for the third temple is the ashes. The ashes, they have to burn a red heifer. They need the ash. Of all the sacrifice for sins mentioned in the Old Testament, only the slaying of a red heifer was outside the camp, outside, not in the temple. Numbers chapter 19 describes this offering. Goes to Numbers 19. And destruction, I said, instructions for preparing water for ritual purification from the ashes of the sacrificed animal after it has been burned. They used the water that they mixed with the ashes as a purification ritual of the sacrificed red bull. Now what we're going to do, I'm going to stop right here because I can't rush this. There's certain things we must understand concerning the red heifer. Till tomorrow morning, if it's Yahweh's will, Maranatha, Yahweh's coming back again. Hallelujah.